All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going deep on this Hernandez v. City of Pomona case.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
It is. It's a 2009 California Supreme Court case. And, you know, it's all about when a federal court makes a decision in, like, a civil rights case against the police.
Right.
Can that actually, like, stop a related case from going forward at the state level?
Yeah, it gets really tricky when you're talking about different court systems.
Totally.
Right.
So this whole thing, it comes from a police shooting, a really tragic one, and I think it'll help us all see just how complicated it can be to try and get justice, you know, navigating these different systems.
Absolutely. And the case materials you sent over, like the summaries and the legal analysis stuff, those are going to be really helpful.
Yeah, for sure. And I think by going through all this, we can get a good grasp on how this decision impacts, you know, anyone who wants to take legal action after something happens with law enforcement, you know, individuals and families who have to deal with this kind of thing.
Right.
So to kick things off, let's go back to 2001, January 2001 in Pomona.
Right.
This is where the whole story starts with George Hernandez. He was killed after this like crazy 18-minute police chase.
Wow.
Yeah, they were going super fast. And then after he crashed his car, he took off running.
Right.
A canine unit got involved. Things escalated.
Oh, man.
And it ended with officers firing a total of 37 shots.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 22 of those shots hit Mr. Hernandez.
That's a lot.
And the crazy part is he didn't even have a gun on him.
Really?
Yeah. Even though the officers claim that, you know, he was reaching for his waistband and saying he had a gun.
Oh, wow.
Turns out he was unarmed.
So that right there just adds a whole other level to this case.
He really does.
Yeah. That detail about him being unarmed, that's going to be huge in the legal battles that come after.
Oh, for sure. So the Hernandez family, they decide to file a lawsuit in federal court.
Makes sense.
They were alleging violations under 42 U.S.C. section 1983.
Right. That's the federal civil rights law.
Yep. And on top of that, they also had state law claims like negligence and wrongful death.
Okay.
The federal court decided to bifurcate these claims.
Bifurcated, that just means they separated them, right?
Exactly. It's something they do a lot to make sure the federal issues get dealt with first.
Okay, makes sense.
And so the federal trial, well, the jury ended up siding with three of the four officers involved.
So they say they didn't violate Mr. Hernandez's rights.
Right. And the fourth officer, he got off because of something called qualified immunity.
Oh, yeah. That one's a tough one to get around.
It is. It basically protects government officials from being held liable unless they broke a very specific law or right.
Right. So for the plaintiffs, it's like an extra barrier they have to overcome.
Definitely. And then there's the state law claims. Remember those?
Right.
Negligence and wrongful death. Those were dismissed, but importantly, they were dismissed without prejudice.
Without prejudice. So that's key.
Super key. What it means is the federal court's decision on the federal claims didn't completely shut down the Hernandez family from trying again with those state law claims in a state court.
So they could still potentially pursue those claims under California law?
Exactly. And that's precisely what they did. The family decided to refile those negligence and wrongful death claims in a state court.
I can see why they'd try that route.
Oh, yeah. But here's where it gets interesting. The city of Pomona, they argued back saying, hold on, the federal court already made a decision. You can't just try again. They brought up this legal thing called collateral estoppel.
Collateral estoppel, that's basically saying you can't just retry the same issue over and over in different courts, right?
Right. It's all about efficiency in the legal system and making sure things get decided and don't just go on forever.
Okay, so how'd that play out in this case?
Well, the city of Pomona said, look, the federal jury already found that the officers didn't use excessive force under Section 1983. Meaning, they said, the question of whether what the officers did was reasonable, that's already been settled.
Right, because a jury already looked at it.
Exactly. And the state trial court, they agreed. They dismissed the case because of this whole collateral estoppel thing.
So they were basically saying the federal court's decision on the federal claims meant the state court couldn't look at the exact same actions using a different law.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. They said the heart of the matter, whether the officers acted reasonably, had already been answered in the federal court, and that was that.
Interesting. But I have a feeling this isn't the end of the story.
Oh, you're right. The Hernandez family, they weren't giving up. They appealed this decision, and guess what? The Court of Appeal actually reversed the trial court.
Whoa, so now it's going the other way.
Yep, they sided with the family.
So it seems like the Court of Appeal thought there was a difference between the federal and state laws, maybe in how they define reasonableness or something.
That's a great point. that difference is likely what led them to overturn the previous decision. But now we have this split, right?
Yeah.
Two different courts saying two different things.
And that's where the California Supreme Court steps in.
Exactly. This is where it gets, like, super important because they need to clear up this mess.
For sure. This kind of situation, it creates confusion and uncertainty in the law.
Absolutely. So the California Supreme Court, they had two big questions in front of them.
Okay.
First, when you look at the federal section 1983 and California negligence law, are the standards for what's considered reasonable, are they basically the same?
Ah, that's a good question.
And second, did that federal judgment really block, like completely prevent the state negligence claims? And this includes anything related to what the officers did even before they actually fired their weapons.
Yeah, like the whole car chase situation.
Right. So those were the key issues that the California Supreme Court was trying to figure out.
This is getting into some real legal weeds now.
It is. But it's important stuff.
Yeah.
So in the end, the California Supreme Court, they ended up siding with the trial court.
Okay, so they went back to the original ruling.
They did. They said that the federal judgment did actually block those state claims. Wow.
And their reasoning, it all came down to reasonableness.
Oh, that word again.
I know, right? But it's crucial here. They said that the federal jury already decided on the reasonableness of the officer's actions overall, and that's what mattered most.
So they're saying it doesn't matter if it's federal or state law, the core idea of reasonable is the same in both.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. They decided that both frameworks, the federal and the state one, they both look at the big picture, the totality of the circumstances when deciding what's reasonable.
So even though they are different laws, in this situation, the court's saying they both boil down to the same basic idea.
Exactly. And that's why they applied this whole collateral estoppel thing. They were like, look, a federal jury already decided the officers acted reasonably in this whole situation, so you can't just relitigate that in state court under a slightly different legal theory.
Makes sense from a legal perspective, trying to prevent the same issue from being tried over and over.
Right. But the Hernandez family, they made another point, right?
Yeah. They said, okay, maybe the shooting itself was considered reasonable by the federal jury, but what about all the stuff leading up to it?
Right. The chase, the canine unit, all that.
Exactly. They argued those actions, like the chase and all that, could be considered negligent, even if the shooting itself wasn't.
So they're trying to separate the actions before the actual shooting as potentially negligent, regardless of the shooting itself.
Yes. They were trying to make a distinction between the pre-shooting actions and the shooting itself.
I see. They're trying to argue that maybe those earlier actions led to a situation where a shooting became more likely, even if the shooting, when it happened, was considered justifiable.
Exactly. But the California Supreme Court, they didn't buy it.
Really?
Nope. They said that when the federal court looked at the reasonableness of what the officers did, they considered the whole thing from the beginning of the chase to the end.
So they weren't going to separate those actions out?
Nope. They saw it as one whole event.
I see. So that's a really important point from this Hernandez decision.
It is. It means that when a court decides if an officer's actions were reasonable or not, they're looking at the whole story, not just pieces of it.
It's not like they're saying, okay, the chase was fine, the canine unit was fine, but the shooting wasn't. They're looking at how it all connects together.
Right, exactly. Now, there were also some interesting concurring opinions in this case.
Oh, right. Those could be really insightful.
They are. Justice Corrigan, she brought up something interesting. She was worried about plaintiffs essentially getting two chances to make their case.
Two bites at the apple.
Yeah, that's the phrase she used. She thought it was important to have finality in legal cases, you know?
Right, to prevent things from dragging on forever.
Exactly. She didn't want people trying to split their claims between different courts just to get another shot.
Yeah, that would make things really messy and inefficient.
Totally. And then Justice Moreno, he had a different take. He agreed with the majority that the wrongful death claim about the shooting was done, but he didn't think the family should get to reword their complaint to specifically focus on things that happened before the shooting.
Interesting.
Yeah, he basically said he didn't think they could make that claim in a way that would get around the whole collateral estoppel issue.
I see. So he was skeptical that they could actually separate those pre-shooting actions out in a way that would hold up in court.
Yep. So looking back at this whole Hernandez case, what are the big takeaways?
Well, it's pretty clear. If there's a federal civil rights case against the police, that judgment can actually stop related state law claims from going forward, especially if the question of whether the officer acted reasonably, if that's already been answered.
Right. And the California Supreme Court, They basically said that the idea of reasonableness, it means pretty much the same thing under both federal and state law.
So that's a key point for anyone dealing with cases like this.
Definitely. You can't just try your luck in a different court system hoping for a different result.
It highlights the importance of bringing all your arguments and claims forward in that first case, because you might not get a second chance.
Absolutely. This case, it really shows how things can get complicated when you're dealing with different levels of the legal system.
And it reinforces how important that concept of collateral estoppel is.
It does. It's all about making sure court decisions are respected and avoiding unnecessary legal battles.
Right. And for anyone out there studying law or even practicing, Hernandez v. City of Pomona, it's a case you want to know about.
It is. It shows you how this whole collateral estoppel thing actually works in real life, especially in these cases involving civil rights and law enforcement.
Yeah, it's a good lesson in thinking strategically about where you file your case and how you structure your claims.
For sure. So for you listeners out there grappling with legal stuff, I hope this deep dive helped you see how important collateral estoppel is, especially when it comes to police conduct.
It's not just a theoretical concept. It has real-world implications, especially in cases like this where you have both federal civil rights law and state negligence law overlapping.
It does. And Hernandez v. City of Pomona, it really shows how a decision in one court can have a ripple effect in another.
Definitely something to keep in mind when thinking about legal strategies.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah, we got into some deep legal waters there.
We did. But this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the complexities of legal actions, especially those involving law enforcement.
Lots to think about.
For sure. What other questions does this case bring up for you?
I mean, it makes you wonder about the balance between allowing people to seek justice in different courts and making sure the legal system is efficient and doesn't get bogged down with repeat cases.
That's a great point. And it also makes you think about how these legal decisions impact not just the individuals involved, but society as a whole, right?
Yeah.
Food for thought, for sure. Well, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. Until next time.
See you then.